Last week, we talked a bit about why joy is necessary. For those of you who weren't here, I said joy isn't optional. It's needed for both our own self-care and our collective sustainability. Finding and sharing joy is one of the reasons we gather in protest. We can make calls and write letters on our own that can be effective in making change, but we also need to see each other with our signs and our slogans, showing up to demand what we need and support each other in our needs. We need to show up together so we can witness each other and let what we see move us. We need to delight in each other's strength, courage, passion, and defiance, because remembering that delight can both inspire us and sustain us. I also said if we forget joy, they win. I invited you all to share with each other last week one thing that brought you joy. And I could feel, it was so cool. I could feel this beautiful, joyful energy in the room as y'all did that. This week, we're going to focus a little more on that, on the things that bring us joy. We've already gotten to experience some of those things this morning. We got to hear lovely music. We got to welcome new members. Genevieve offered us a tour through some faraway and very close by everyday wonders. And we sang together, a joyful act in and of itself, about noticing and celebrating the wonders around us and between us. So now I want to invite you into a practice that I hope will give you access to some remembered joy. To start with, I invite you into your own reflection on wonders that you might notice and celebrate. So take a breath. Settle into your seat. Feel your feet on the floor connecting you to the earth. And as you get used to the stillness of your body, let yourself notice the rhythms of your heart and your breath, and let your mind come back to the poem Stephen just read for us. In particular, the words Lee Young Lee used to evoke wonder: nectar, succulent, sugar, jubilance. Let those words sink in. And then let your mind wander a little bit until it lands on something you remember that gave you pleasure. Notice what senses that pleasure involved. Was it taste, like our poet? Smell? Sight or sound? Touch? Give yourself a little time to remember that sensation and let your mind find juicy, joyful words to describe it. And if your mind found juicy, joyful words, I invite you to whisper those into the space that you're occupying now. And then take another breath. Open your eyes. Return to the space you're in. Notice how that feels. Does the pleasure linger in your mind, in your body? Memory is one of the ways we can access joy, and pleasure or the memory of pleasure is another. We can also practice cultivating our ability to find joy in noticing things around us, like beauty and nature and art and music and just life. We can increase our capacity for joy by intentionally cultivating that noticing, by practicing slowing down, giving ourselves time and space to notice the beautiful things around us, letting joy be kindled by them. This can happen in ways we're used to or might expect. The things we do for ourselves that we already know bring us joy. For me, that's spending time in the moist warmth of the conservatory at Old Brick Gardens in the winter. It's walking under a grove of pine trees and listening to their rustling and smelling the scent of their pitch. It's letting my body sink into cool water on a hot day. It's taking Marvel to the dog park and knowing that she will bound with abandon toward anyone who might play with her. These are things I seek out on purpose. But it can happen in unexpected ways or moments too, like being surprised into joyful laughter at a random interaction at the grocery store, or giving up all hope of staying dry during a rainstorm and deciding to splash in the puddles instead. There are so many ways we can find joy in one another as well. Coming together to express shared values like we talked about with last week's protest, singing together, sharing a meal or a coffee or a walk or a paddle. The poet Rosemary Wahtola Traumer writes about how that can feel in this piece that she wrote for her daughter called Kinetic Joy. It's perhaps like billiards, in which the cue ball collides with another ball and the kinetic energy passes on to a second ball. That's how it is when you, in your joy, collide with me in a hug and your joy passes to me, my every molecule vibrating as your bliss becomes my bliss. Your joy becomes my joy. I'm dizzy with it, spinning with it, rolling around the room with it. In fact, it's what I was made for, to be moved by you and your joy. As we talked about a bit last week, these practices of noticing and cultivating joy are important to our well-being, especially these days, or any days where there is pain or loss or sorrow, present or imminent. It can also be harder to notice and cultivate joy during times like that, which is what our second wisdom reading is about. I'm having a memory, actually. It was Lynn Unger who recommended to me that I get a dog when I was complaining about not finding joy. That's full circle, baby. One of the things that helps me most these days is the beauty in words like those, and in the places that inspired them. I need to be able to hear, in here, words that bring the possibility of joy. Nectar, succulent, sugar, jubilance. And I need to be able to notice and celebrate the joys around me for myself. In this spring season, blooming trees, greening understories, the chorus frogs in the retention pond across the street, and yes, dandelions when they come up any day now. I need to feel the way these things soften my heart amidst the chaos, the fear, the killings, the erasures, the deportations that break my heart. Not in denial of them, but in spite of them. Dr. Robin Wall Kimmerer, botanist and plant ecologist and member of the Citizen Potawatomi Nation in what is now called New York, wrote, "Even a wounded world is feeding us. Even a wounded world holds us, giving us moments of wonder and joy. I choose joy over despair, not because I have my head in the sand, but because joy is what the earth gives me daily, and I must return the gift." So I am saying that I need to find and feel joy to sustain me. And Dr. Kimmerer says we can choose joy by noticing those moments, those blossoms and those frogs and so much more, and what they offer our hearts and spirits. Because of reciprocity, right? The earth gives us joy, and we must return it. And then I'm going to throw one more piece into this bittersweet mix. The poet and essayist Ross Gay, author of The Book of Delights and Inciting Joy, has said, "What if joy and pain are fundamentally tangled up with one another? Or even more to the point, what if joy is not only entangled with pain, suffering, or sorrow, but it's also what emerges from how we care for each other through those things? What if joy, instead of refuge or relief from heartbreak, is what effloresces from us as we help each other carry our heartbreaks? Which is to say, what if joy needs sorrow? What if joy needs sorrow?" I've talked in the past about my divorce some 8 years ago now, right before the first Trump election. That was a fun year. As I waded through the sorrow of the loss of my marriage and the state of our country, I worked hard to stay with the grief. I knew that I needed to fully feel it instead of that easier but less healthy strategy of pushing it aside and pushing through. And this amazing thing happened. The grief was so big that it pushed the boundaries of my capacity to feel. And so when the grief eventually, inevitably, became less intense, my capacity to feel stayed big. And so when joy finally came, that felt bigger too. It was like having a bigger bowl I could fill with the good stuff. In these times, as we move through a world whose woundedness becomes more apparent every moment, and a world in which we have to bear so much loss, I think we have to let ourselves feel the sorrows. That's what we're here for, right? Is to accompany each other in those sorrows. We can't wish away, as Lynn Unger wants to, this horrific administration or the impact it's having on our human siblings. We can't wish away the personal losses and the sadness they bring to our lives. But we can notice and choose to feel the joys that are there alongside them. Who knows what happens next? All I can tell you is that the fields are ablaze with dandelions who have never known the meaning of defeat. May it be so, and may we be so.